I want to make sure we get out here on time, so I'm going to skip that last song so we have the time for the song at the end. So it all worked together. All right. Hard-pressed, yet not crushed. We get this from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Today we're going to be talking about the nation of Israel and the Jew haters that are rising up. This week I sat down Monday and started my rough outline for my sermon this week. And I felt like I was overwhelmed sitting at my desk. There was so much information that I've collected, so many things happening around this subject in the world. And there's so much truth in the scripture, and it's being attacked from multiple directions. I felt like I was sinking in a pit behind my desk. I felt overwhelmed. And so this one sermon that I visualized being one sermon when I started the Hard Press series, this one sermon now is four. For the next 4 weeks, I'm going to lay the best case I possibly humanly can. I'm going to lay it from Scripture, the truth of what God says on this subject. We're going to understand every aspect of it by the time we're done. And so this is where we're going to begin today on this subject of the nation of Israel and the Jew haters rising up in the conservative movement from the political right. And it's a real threat. Play the next video.
But there is a danger that is very real, and we've talked about anti-Semitism. Listen, about a decade ago, anti-Semitism began rising on the left. And the Democratic Party did nothing. And in the decade that followed, it has consumed the Democrat Party. I do not believe this is exaggeration to say there is a real and meaningful pro-Hamas contingent of the Democrat Party in Washington. And the remainder of the Democrats are terrified of the pro-Hamas contingent. We know that. But the danger that I want to highlight to you tonight is not anti-Semitism on the left. It is anti-Semitism on the right. And I'm here to tell you, in the last 6 months, I have seen anti-Semitism rising on the right in a way I have never seen it in my entire life.
And I have to agree with that. I am shocked at what I've seen out there, what I've heard. We'll be going over the next 4 weeks. This is biblical. The Bible warns us towards the end, all nations, all people will come against Israel, against the Jew. It's been happening for a long time. But even churches, even believers are coming against the Jew. And we'll find out today. We're going to find out a lot in the next couple weeks. Today in our praying in our Psalms, we hit Psalms 105. It wasn't scheduled to be. I wasn't predicting that on this day I'd be in Psalms 105. And I didn't know last week or a couple weeks ago that I'd be preaching on Israel today. But I am. It's like God confirms things. Saying, yes, you're on the right track. Because sometimes you wonder. Sometimes, Lord, have I misunderstood something? I've gotten. And then there's times that he just confirms things. You're on the right track. You're doing what I ask. And reading the psalm this week was this way. Psalms 105. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Verse 4. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. You will see in this sermon series that there are those that say the seed of Abraham are those who believe in Jesus, not literally the Jewish people, not the physical descendants of Abraham. And nothing could be further from the truth. Abraham, his servant, your children, Jacob, his chosen one. Verse 7, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever. When God makes a covenant, a promise, it's forever. The word which he commanded for 1,000 generations. The covenant which he made with Abraham 4,000 years ago. And his oath to Isaac, Abraham's son. Verse 10, and confirmed it to Jacob, Isaac's son, Abraham's grandson, for a statute to Israel as an everlasting covenant. You have to understand, when God speaks of Israel, he always speaks of the land. When he speaks of the people of Israel, the Jews, he speaks of the land. They are connected. It's an everlasting covenant, meaning no end, forever. To you, I will give the land of Canaan. It is an allotment of your inheritance. The land is always mentioned. When you hear the covenant of Abraham, you hear the land. God's covenant with Abraham is a twofold blessing. There is a spiritual blessing of salvation to all who will believe. Because Abraham was, through him and the Jewish people, all the lands of the world, all the nations of the world, all the families of the earth will be blessed. But there's also a physical blessing to the Jewish people, which includes the physical land of Israel. There are those today trying to redefine this covenant with Abraham, to change what it actually says. In the next few weeks, we'll lay out the truth from Scripture on this Abrahamic covenant. So looking at the nation of Israel and the Jew haters rising, as we started on this subject, I felt led to give some backstory. So that's why I turned into four. I mean, I could just hit it straight on, but I wanted to give some back, the whole backstory, the history. When a person looks at the history of humanity, there's always been hatred and discrimination. We've always had it. There's always been racism of some kind against one ethnic group or another. Someone is always persecuting someone somewhere. There's a lot of injustice that has been done in human history. But I was curious about what AI, artificial intelligence, AI, had to say about this. So I posed the question to AI. I asked, and this is exactly how I worded it, what ethnic group has been the most persecuted in human history? So just click once, Levi. There you go. Don't touch it again. So here's the AI response. Oh, I should have brought my glasses. It is not, I'll read it up here, it's a lot bigger. It is not possible to definitely identify the most hated ethnic group in human history. This is a computer talking. It's about ethics. Interesting. Hatred and persecution have been directed at numerous ethnic and religious groups throughout history, varying by time, place, and specific motivations of the persecutors. Many groups have faced severe discrimination, violence, and genocide, and ranking their suffering historically irresponsible and ethically fraught. I'm being lectured by a computer. I agree with what the computer is saying, but this wasn't all it said. It continued. Click. There you go. However, the history of anti-Semitism and the persecution of the Jewish people is a prominent and well-documented example of long-standing and widespread ethnic and religious hatred. It is often referred to by scholars as the longest hatred due to its persistence across the centuries and across cultures, diverse cultures. The longest hatred. Why? Why the Jews? And if you study their history, they were hated everywhere they went. Across the centuries and across the cultures. Simply put, doesn't matter what ethnic group, what culture, what time period, there's always a hatred for the Jews. So there's no rhyme or connection why all these different groups over different times always hated the Jews, but why has it happened and why is it still happening? And you have to understand where it's coming from. It's coming from behind humanity, behind the curtain. And from the spiritual realm that is just as real as the physical realm, we just can't see it, but it affects us. And there is a prince in this world, the Bible teaches. There is a fallen prince in this world, prince of the air, the power of darkness, a real entity, a real being who is working behind the scenes and getting humanity to do his bidding. Ephesians chapter 2. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Sorry, I had to adjust my computer. We're dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air. There is a real Satan. And the biggest deception he's ever gotten on humanity is to believe that the devil isn't real. That he's just a symbol of bad and evil. No, he's real. He's just as real as we are. Just a spiritual being. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Everyone who is disobedient to God. Everyone who rejects God. Everyone who ignores God. He's working in and through. They're available for his deception and his craftiness. Among whom... Now, we're not looking down on everybody. Look at verse 3. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as others. We were there. I was there. Man, I was so used by Satan to do his bidding, to push the sin in this world, to use people, to hurt people, just to create darkness around me and a false image of Jesus Christ because I always claimed to be a believer. I did probably more damage to people who weren't believers because they were looking at me going, well, that, he says he's a Christian. Look how bad he is. Those who are disobedient to God, those who don't believe in Jesus, Satan is a corrupting force in them. And through them, to do his will one way or another. Most are completely ignorant of it. Most people in the world are simple pawns in a war. They have no idea is being waged on the planet. Our sin nature allows us to be manipulated by the devil. The devil who is a murderer and a liar. John chapter 8, verse 34. Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Jesus is talking to a whole group of Jewish people. And he's trying to explain to them their real problem. Everyone in the world has a sin nature, a natural tendency we're born with to do what we want, to not be concerned with what God wants. Everyone in the world is a slave to this nature. We have free will to a certain extent, but that sin nature corrupts even that. And we're going to sin. We're going to lie. We're going to steal. We're going to be selfish. It's in our nature. That's why you don't have to teach children how to lie. You don't have to teach children how to be selfish. It comes naturally. Everyone in the world is a slave to sin and their sin nature. And that's why Jesus came to free us from that. You can be a slave to sin and the world, i.e. the prince of this world, to do his bidding, to be sinful, to be dark, or you can be a slave of the good master, the one who purchased you with a heavy price, and that price was his death. Jesus purchased us. He is the good master. That's what he's trying to explain to these people. Verse 37, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. These are Abraham's descendants. These are the Jewish people, the chosen nation. But see, they're not seeking no longer the God of Israel. They're not seeking God the Father. They're following a different Father, and Jesus is pointing this out to them. And in so doing, they will seek to kill him. By the end of the chapter, they try to kill him. Why? Why are they hating Jesus? Why? Well, one, they have no place for the Word of God in their lives. That's what he says. You have no place for my Word. They don't want it. They've bought into a false religion and ancestral heritage, Judaism. They're Jews, so they're good. Their sin, no big deal, because they're Jews and they have the law and they got the sacrifices and hey, they don't need a Savior. And three, Satan has deceived them into thinking they are following God when they're not. Their God was standing before them. And they did not recognize him. Verse 39. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. He tells them, no, you're not following God the Father. You're following another father. And they snap back, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, if you really were, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me. A man who told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. What is Jesus applying? Jesus talked to Abraham. Yeah. Here's the spiritual aspect of the Abraham covenant. Abraham believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness. This is what we call the saving faith of Abraham. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3 for a second. Genesis 15, verse 6, and he, Abram, before God changed his name to Abraham, Abram believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. There's this land. Abraham believed, it says, that word is to have faith. We're saved by faith. Abraham was saved by faith. Abraham believed in the covenant God made with him. Paul points this out in Romans chapter 4. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about. But not before God. None of us do. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. You see, we're saved by faith. To grace in God. Abraham was saved, trusting what God said, that he had a covenant and he had a blessing for him and all the people of the world. A Messiah was going to come. Abraham believed that, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Here we are, much later in history, looking back, believing that God did send the Messiah, and that God fulfills his covenant and his promises. By faith we're made righteous. Same faith. This is the saving faith of Abraham. The saving faith every person needs to have, Jew and Gentile alike. This is the truth that Satan does not want people to hear. And when he can't stop this truth from spreading, he seeks to corrupt it so that people are either deceived or greatly confused. Why? Because Satan is a murderer and a liar. And he hates humanity. Let's go back to Jesus in John chapter 8 and finish this up. Verse 40. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. And then they said to him, We were not born of fornication. We have one Father God. Why would they say that to Jesus? These are good God-fearing people. So what are they doing? They're attacking Jesus' mother because she had a baby before she was married to Joseph. These are good Christian, they're not Christian, but good godly people, and they're attacking Jesus. You know, you can't prove someone wrong, so you attack them personally, right? That's what they're doing here. Verse 42, Jesus responds to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me." Verse 43, "Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." Father of lies. Deception and confusion is what Satan, that's the fields he plays. And a murderer from the beginning. Beginning of what? Well, the very beginning. Adam and Eve. Let's go Genesis chapter 1. Verse 26. God has created the universe. He has created everything. And now on the final day, day 6, God's going to create us. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image." I forgot to highlight that R. "According to our likeness." Everything okay? Okay. I have security coming in the back, so I'm going to just make sure they usually don't do that. So, all right. We'll cut that part out of the video. Us and our. God, singular, one God. Let us, plural, the Trinity in work here, the very first chapter of the Bible. "According to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now, we know, and I've taught on this in the past, there's two theories, and only two theories, out there how we got here. You got intelligent designer, and you got evolution. And we've taught in depth on this. So, a lot of people mock this first chapter in the Bible, and we're not to take it literal. We're not to take it literal. But what this Bible says in the first chapter is that there was one woman and one man, and we all came from. Now, when you look at evolution, species evolved, right? Not just a pair, but a species evolved slowly. But here we got one man and one woman. So I was curious again about AI, what AI would say. So here's what I did. I typed in this. Next slide, Levi. I typed in this. Has DNA proved humanity came from one male and one female? Because I think this is amazing what they can do with DNA. And DNA proves that there's a God, but that's another topic for another day. But I asked this exact question. That's exactly how I typed it into AI. This is what it came back as. No. DNA does not prove that humanity came from a single couple. I didn't ask couple. I asked one man and one male, one female. That's all I asked. Why it responded to me in this way with a couple? I never mentioned couple. But it seems like the forces to be that they don't want people to believe that one couple brought all humanity. Because that's what this says. I've had a lot of good results with AI, but I've seen some sneaky things inside of AI too that I want to put it to the test. But it said, no, DNA does not prove that humanity came from a single couple. But it does show we all descend from a common male ancestor and a common female ancestor. However, these two individuals likely did not live at the same time. And you go down there, it says all women can trace their mitochondrial DNA, then the DNA that comes from the mother, back to a single woman. And the male DNA back to one male. But according to this, they weren't a couple, and they didn't even live at the same time. Please explain that. AI is really good if you know how to work. You can trick it. And AI falls back on algorithms and general consensus in general questions. But you can get it. And there's a lot of videos about how AI is agreeing with the Bible in every aspect. Just wanted to throw that in there. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The devil appears as a serpent to deceive Eve, since she already knew him as Lucifer. The Bible tells us Lucifer was in the Garden of Eden, maybe up to almost 100 years before he went rogue, before he went bad. So she knew Lucifer. So that's why he's in disguise. Satan wants Eve and Adam to rebel against God. He wants them to sin. He wants them to die. Why? Why does he hate Adam and Eve? But here he's like, did God really say this? He wants to always create doubt. How many of you have heard or know someone who says, well, the Bible's full of errors and contradictions. Can't trust it. Oh, the Bible is put together by evil men who hated women and hated people and all this. Racist, right? Anything to doubt this. Can't trust it. Here he wants them to sin. He wants them to rebel. Satan knows that his deception, getting Eve to doubt the word of God, will get her closer to taking the fruit to disobey God. So he questions her. Eve responds with basically, yes, that's what God says. And you can tell Adam told her even more because she says, don't even look at it. Not to touch or eat it. Don't even look at it. Because that was probably Adam. God told Adam to tell Eve, don't eat that tree. And then, Adam, he was like, hey, don't even look at it. So she adds a little more emphasis how bad it would be to disobey God. Verse 4. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. That's a lie. God told them they would. So Satan says the exact opposite from what God says. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Now that's true. Up until this point, all they knew was good. Wouldn't it be nice to live where you didn't know anything about evil, suffering, pain? Just everything was good. Adam and Eve, that's what they existed in. Until they used their free will to disobey God. And then they discovered how bad that is. And how that separates them from the God who loves them. So Satan mixes lie and truth and blends it. You won't die. Why does Satan want to kill Adam and Eve? Well, here's a little more of the backstory history. Isaiah 14. How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer. He was created as Lucifer. He was the most beautiful angel God created. The Bible talks about this. And it gets to him. He gets prideful. He gets so prideful in his beauty. And he was in charge of the worship of God, the angelic, the creation worshiping God. He was in charge of that, leading that. And it got to him that he should be worshiped because he was so beautiful. He forgot he was created. How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you were cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I. Self-centered. Narcissistic. Prideful. All about self. Satan bought into his own lie, the lie he would eventually tell Eve, you can be like God. Lucifer, consumed with pride, led a revolt against God. You can see this in Revelation chapter 12. He could not overcome God, cast out of heaven. Couldn't hurt God, could he? Well, he definitely couldn't overtake God, but he could hurt God. He could cause God's creation. Well, the only thing in the creation created in the very image of God. The beings God created to be in relationship with him as his children. Satan could cause them to rebel like he did. He chose to rebel, but he deceived Eve into rebelling. You see, Satan could cause them to rebel, causing them to be separated from God, the God who loves them. And because they sin and God is just, now they are opposing God. They are enemies of God because they are now living sinfully in rebellion to a holy and just God, causing God to have to eventually judge them, to judge what he loves. That's sick. That's Satan for you. But God had a plan. Because God is all-knowing. Free will had to be there. Had to be part of the beginning of the creation. Free will to choose to do right or to do wrong. It had to be available to Adam and Eve. Satan took advantage of this. Without free will, they were just robots. They couldn't choose to love God. God gave them free will. Satan took advantage of it, tricked him, deceived Eve. Adam, he did it knowing better. And that's why men are credited with passing on sin and not the woman. Genesis 3, verse 14. So the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. People have mocked the Bible for this because snakes are always on their belly. They've always been on their belly. This is just dumb. They've mocked it really bad. People have chosen not to believe in God because of this right here. Snakes are always on their belly. This is dumb. Let me show you something. 2015, July 24, Fox News put out this and reported it, the first one, then others did as well. Unexpected step. Snake ancestor had 4 feet. What? Go to the next slide. The oldest snake fossil on record looks almost like a modern snake. It looks almost exactly like a snake. Except it has 4 feet. What? With 5 digits. Literally a four-legged snake 120 million years ago. Here's a picture of it, the whole thing. And if you zoom in, there's the legs on a snake. Insane. Next slide, Levi. Scientists finally know why snakes lost their legs. They evolved to live in the sea. Oh, yeah. That is funny. Because I have some questions about that. One, because I don't believe in evolution, we can disprove it. Scientifically, we can. But see, they don't let things like this out, do they? It hits, it's a fascinating discovery, and then people go, wait a minute! This is bad for our theory. Just like DNA comes from one male and one female, that's not good. Here, wait a minute. Snakes had legs? We've been mocking the Bible for a long time. And now you're saying the Bible is correct? All right, so the snakes lost their legs so they live in the sea. But all the snakes are not in the sea. Or if they did go in the sea and they came back out and decided again to live on land, why didn't they evolve their legs back? And then, if no one in human history, no scientist, no archaeological person, nothing, knew that snakes had legs until 2015 discovery, how did the writers of the Bible, how did Moses know they had legs? Maybe because this is the Word of God? God knows everything? All right, I just had to throw that in there. I love apologetics. Let's get back to the main point. Genesis 3. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast in the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat the dust of the dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. You shall bruise his head, your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Bruise means it's literally destructive. Satan's going to get a good heel shot on this man, this seed of the woman, but he was going to receive a death blow to the head. A child would be born from a woman, a man who would undo what Satan had done and would destroy Satan in the end. Not just save humanity, but he will destroy Satan. The seed of the woman, this man to come, eventually through the covenant with Abraham, because through this man, salvation is open to all the families of the earth. Through Abraham, through the covenant, through Isaac, through Jacob, renamed Israel, a man would come, a Jewish man, a unique man, the God-man, Jesus, who would be the Savior of the world, the Lamb of God, and the destroyer of the devil, the Lion of Judah. This is why Satan hates the Jewish people. He wanted to be God. He couldn't be God. To hurt God, he got Adam and Eve to fall, making God judge that which he loved. Just be evil. But now, there's a man coming. It's going to destroy him. They're going to come through the Jewish people. Satan thinks that I want to undermine God because I still want to be God. I have to get rid of these Jewish people. Then God can't bring this man. So I'm going to make everyone who doesn't believe in God hate the Jews eventually. And he could, because there's lots of people out there that have no place for God in their hearts. They have no place for the Word of God. They don't want to hear it. So they can be manipulated, deceived. Across many centuries and many diverse cultures. The oldest hatred, the hatred of the Jewish people. And the only reason to hate Jews is that people are doing the will of their father, the devil. That's the only reason to hate Jews. Pharaoh followed the will of his father. Next slide, Levi. When he commanded that all the male babies be thrown into the Nile. Herod followed the desires and will of his father, the devil, when he commanded all the male babies in Bethlehem be killed. Because Satan was trying to stop the one from coming, the seed of the woman, the man who would destroy him. Again, you can read this in Revelation chapter 12. Satan did everything he could to stop Jesus from coming, but he failed. All right, so he failed. So why does he still hate the Jewish people? He couldn't stop Jesus. Jesus came. So why doesn't he just give up on this hatred of the Jews? Because there's more to the covenant. The spiritual blessing to all the families through Abraham was Jesus Christ and is Jesus Christ. That's only part of it. You see, there's a physical land and a physical descendants as well involved in that covenant. And the Jews are to be back in their land. And Jesus returns. When he returns to the Jewish people in the land of Israel, he returns to set things right. He returns to take hold of Lucifer, Satan, the devil, and cast him into the abyss. That's what Satan's trying to stop now with anti-Semitism. Let's wipe the Jews off the face of the earth. Oh, that's not their land. Take it away from them. Give it to the Palestinians. This is Satan working behind the scenes, manipulating, deceiving. And if you don't have time for this, and you don't have Jesus Christ, you can easily be caught up in the deception. Come on up, team. That'll save us a few seconds. The nation of Israel and the Jew haters. I'm almost done. We're real close. Now we understand this supernatural hatred for the Jews. In the past and still today, the Word of God lays it out for us. Satan is real. The Jews are his downfall. The Jews are... We're going to learn next week how important the Jewish people are to you and I. To everybody. It's crazy. But... there's a supernatural hatred for the Jews in the past and still today. And most people have no idea this war of good and evil is playing out. And that's also part of the deception. Not to believe in Satan and not to believe in this war between him and God. The deception is to get people so caught up in the cares of this life, chasing worldly pleasures, too busy, caught up in themselves to think about where they came from, what is their purpose in life, where are they going after they die. They're just too caught up in the cares of this life. The question I leave with you today, and any of those that might listen online, those that are here and listening, you may not personally hate the Jews yourself. You may not even understand anything I've gone over today. You've never heard it before. Now you heard it for the first time. And you're not personally against the Jews. But what Jesus said is still true about you being a child that has a different father. If you've not been born again in Jesus Christ, you are a child of this world and the prince of it. I can say that because that was me too. Before I came back to my heavenly Father, the one who created me. And the only way we come back to the Father is through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. But before I did that, I was of my father, the devil. So when I say that about you, or it might be about you, I'm not criticizing you. I'm not judging you. You know, you can be a child of the prince of the air, of the devil in this life. It doesn't mean you worship Satan. It doesn't even mean you want to do bad things. But that sin nature you have. It causes you to commit sin. Even self-love, where you love yourself more than you love God. And you become your own God, your own boss. You see, the key to what Jesus said to the Jews that day, they did not have room in their lives for God and His Word. Does that describe you today? If it does, you need to understand that that's not a good thing. Do you know what the number one rule of Satanism is? Do you know what the number one rule of Satanism is? Do what you will. It's all about you. That's the number one rule in Satanism. It's all about you. See, you don't have to worship Satan to still do what Satan wants you to do. And if you just think about yourself your whole life, you're going to end up standing before a holy and just God in your sin. And he's going to have to judge you. He loves you too much for that. So he has sent his church, pastors, Christians, disciples, to share with you the truth so that you can come out of the deception of Satan and put your faith in Jesus Christ. Everyone in the world is a sinner before a holy God. We are all children of wrath. We were all part of following a father who did not have our best interests in heart, a murderer and a liar from the beginning. We were all there. And by God's grace, he found us and brought us home, the prodigal sons and the prodigal daughters. Everyone in the world is a sinner before a holy God. You need a Savior. You need Jesus. Let the world go and come home. Come back to the one who created you and loved you and died for you. I'm going to go ahead and stand up. We're over. So what's three more minutes, right? So stand up. Let's sing. Let's sing. Let's go.
Oh,
Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for the communion this morning, the sacrifice of you on the cross for us. Lord, we thank you for your wonderful plan that was implemented before the foundations of the world. Lord, we thank you for your grace that saves us. And Lord, we thank you for your word that opens our eyes to the truth. Lord, I pray that anyone who is listening here or online that seems to hate the Jews, for them to realize why they do. There's only one reason to hate the Jews, and because you're following a worldly father that has no good intentions for you. And even if you don't hate the Jews, without Jesus Christ, you're lost. You need a Savior. I pray that everyone will understand that, Lord. We'll understand the beauty of the cross, the justice of the cross, the love of the cross, the mercy and the grace that comes through the cross to us who do not deserve it. But because you are good, and you're our good Heavenly Father who loves us. I pray that everyone will understand that, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you give us the strength this week to go out, to be salt and light, to be disciples, to live for your name. And for your truth. Help us to be salt and light today. And the rest of this week. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, team, let's break out of here on count of three. One, two, three. Break. Let's go.